May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's funny what snatches of memory pop up from time to time. Reading this passage from Matthew reminded me of my confirmation classes when I was 13. I really wanted to be confirmed, and had had to wait a year longer than I had hoped, as my parents thought I was too young to make that decision. It was with great joy that I was finally allowed to be prepared for confirmation. A group of us met each week to be taught by the vicar. I don't remember all that he told us, but I can still picture one thing in my notebook, and that is an illustration from this passage. I had drawn a broad, gently winding road, which climbed only slightly, and a narrow, rocky, steep road, which did not look inviting at all. I had made the contrast between the two very obvious. That was many years ago. However, I now have a much more recent memory, which adds to and alters the picture quite a bit. 2.5 years ago, I walked the last 100 miles, or 160 kilometres, of the Camino to Santiago de Compostela in Spain. I was walking to raise money for charity, and was accompanied by my daughter Zoe. We enjoy girly times together, but this was certainly the most extreme circumstances in which to arrange to have such a time. We covered the distance in 6.5 days during very hot days in June, hotter than we had been led to expect, in fact. The path we walked was actually nowhere near as narrow as the picture I had drawn all those years ago. It was, however, much narrower than the roads, where cars, buses and lorries travelled, of course. As Jesus says in this passage, few find the way. But once again, it is few compared to the many on the road. I think as a young person, I had a picture of one lone walker struggling along something akin to a deer path, with the risk that the path would become virtually impassable at some point. The Camino is well trodden by enough feet to keep the path clear. That's very much the same for the Christian path. We are travelling a road that others are also travelling. We have company and a chance for conversation. What Zoe and I found was that we sometimes ended up walking with the same people on different days of our trip. We were not from the same party. We didn't necessarily set off at the same time each day, but familiar faces came into view, and we walked together for part of the way. Some had covered much more of the Camino than us, setting off many weeks before, and some had only just joined. It was really good to meet again and discuss how our respective journeys were going. I found that happening with other Christians whom I have got to know in my life. In particular, with a mentor of mine, we noted that our paths were the same for a while, then moved apart, then met up again. We thought of it that way, not because we were walking a physical path, but because we seemed to be learning similar things from God. It was helpful to be able to share together, a bit like talking about the same scenery if we had been physically travelling together. Here on Epiphany Island and elsewhere, we can meet to talk about our journey, the good bits, the difficult bits, the joys, the confusions, and we can give encouragement to one another. We are all part of the same story, the one that began in the Bible, and will continue until the end of time. Sometimes, on my walk, another person or group didn't stay with us to talk, but carried on by. However, they never went without saying, "Buen camino," or "good road," literally. They were wishing as well, and that was very encouraging. Even when we don't meet with someone for very long, we too can still be encouraging of others. The way we navigated on our pilgrimage was by using the way markers. These had a yellow arrow on them, and a stylized yellow scallop shell. One was even a huge arrow formed of scallop shells painted yellow and set in the plaster on the side of a building. I suppose you could think of these marks as being a bit like the things we learn in the Bible to help us to live as we should. However, there were times when we had a choice to make and could see no yellow arrow anywhere. It was apparent that others had had the same problem and wanted to help us, as we used to find an arrow made from stones placed somewhere on the right path. Sometimes we had to try each path first to see which was the right one, but we always found some mark from other people. Good though it is to share our journey with those who are on the same stretch as us, those who have gone before are an invaluable help to us. I think of them as the many Christians who have lived the life of faith before our time. Some are famous, some are not, but all are saints who are now with God and are cheering us on. I imagine everyone on a long walk wants to give up at some time. It hit me first at the end of the first day. The very last few meters were steeply uphill. Zoe had already gone up and reached the top. I remember standing and looking with the feeling that my muscles were just not up to that final push. I actually couldn't stay there forever, as the only way onwards was up that slope, so in the end I made it. The second time I considered giving up was at the end of the second day, when I had huge blisters on my feet. Sometimes we feel we can't keep on living the life of faith. Things are just too difficult, and it would be so much easier just to give up. Jesus told us the way would be hard, so we must expect problems at times. I'm convinced that he gives us the strength to persevere if we ask him. With the problems of the blisters, I prayed, telling God that I was prepared to put one foot in front of the other, but he would have to supply the strength I needed. And he did. I've had to do the same in life too, as I'm sure you have had to at times. My original idea of the two paths had them going in completely different directions, never coming near one another. On the Camino, it was different, with the way being alongside busy roads at times. So the narrow path went in exactly the same direction as the broad one. The difference was the means of travel. I think that is true of the Christian life also. We will not be going through totally different things from non-Christians. However, we may react to them differently because of our faith. If people see the difference in us, they may choose to find out more and maybe even join us. As I've said before, we may be the only gospel some people read. If that's the case, we need to make sure that our lives are consistent with the faith we profess. We can do that by being aware of the condition of our hearts. Outward performance is not enough. Different people will find different ways to help themselves with this. I try to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Some people choose to have an accountability partner who has permission to ask the awkward questions that help to keep them on track. When we finally arrived in Santiago and approached the cathedral, I was really surprised to feel no reaction at all. I had told my husband that I would raise my fist and celebrate with a big yes, but it all seemed to be a bit of an anticlimax. Even when I claimed my pilgrim's special certificate, it didn't really mean a great deal. I think that the problem was that I'd concentrated on actually doing the journey rather than on the ending. I think that is much the same for most of us on our Christian journey. We are concentrating on each day rather than the destination. However, I am sure that when we reach our final destination, there will be plenty of reaction. We will be in the presence of God. We'll meet all those saints who have gone before us and cheered us on. And we will be reunited with those who have shared the journey with us. What a wonderful occasion to look forward to. Thanks be to God.